Ronnie in saying we are elated with your presence today for this Lord's Day morning service. The Ides of March are upon us, and the Lord has granted us a beautiful day today as far as the weather is concerned, and we're thankful to Him for that. Let's remember our services throughout the day. This evening, of course, at our evening worship service, when Brother Brian will be bringing the lesson of the hour. And while I think of it, I want to thank Harold for those timely remarks at the Lord's table. He said the Lord took the two common elements, the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine, and gave it as a living memorial to us to remember Him in the Lord's Supper until He comes again. Harold did a good job on that. He's a good teacher and a good preacher also, and we appreciate that very much. One of the most beautiful verses was that first verse that Gene read a while ago here in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, and it was in verse 9. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man those things that God has in store for the ones that love Him. You know, that makes a very good text for a funeral sermon. And many times preachers will use that with reference to heaven. And in a descriptive sense, it does describe maybe the fact that we don't know what lies ahead as far as heaven is concerned. But really, the text is not talking about heaven. It's talking about the gospel plan of salvation, the coming of Christ. Those Jews set their telescopic sights upon the future, and they look forward to the coming Messiah. They wanted a king which would relieve them from the galling yoke of Romanism and set them free. And so in the Old Testament, they'd say, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has laid up for the ones that love Him. But that was the gospel. The thing you're enjoying right today, I'd say that most of you are members of the body of Christ and members of the kingdom, and you are enjoying. You may not know it, but you're enjoying what eye could not see, nor ear could not hear. Neither could it enter into the heart of man the things that God has laid up for the ones that love Him. You're enjoying it. I hope you are, because you don't live back under the old law. You don't live under patriarchy. You're living under the Christian dispensation and are sharing all of these marvelous blessings which the Jews really look forward to but did not really comprehend. In this particular text, as he goes on down, and I want to talk about the dual nature of man, as you will see indicated on the board, on the chart, which Ronnie has prepared, and he always does a very good job of this, and I'll be talking about that a little later. But he says here, but God hath revealed it unto us by the Spirit. I believe the pronoun us refers to the apostle. And I believe what Paul is saying is that the Holy Spirit revealed the things that God wanted us to know through the apostles. And indeed He did. The Lord had said, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. But God hath revealed them unto us by the Spirit, for the Spirit searches the things, yea, the deep things of God. You know, God has a will, and He did not reveal it personally. But the Holy Spirit went into the mind of God and probed from His mind what He wanted us to know today, and it's revealed here in this book called the Biblos or the Bible. You know that, don't you? You know that the Holy Spirit did that. And you know this word is the word of the Spirit because it went into the mind of God. And then He said, no man knows the things of a man save the Spirit that's within him, which is an analogy. Now, I don't know what you're thinking today. I don't have any idea because I'm not able to probe your mind. But you're thinking about something. And I guess we all do, unless we're asleep. We're thinking about something. I'm going to talk about that a little bit because the Bible reveals it. But I don't know what you're thinking. And so Paul uses this analogy that no man knows what another is thinking unless that person makes it known to him. So it is with the Spirit of God. We wouldn't know what God is thinking if the Holy Spirit hadn't probed into the mind of God and told us about it. But thank God He did tell us about it, and we're discussing it right today in this book, the Bible. And that's all. Isn't that simple? Well, that's the way it is. And that's what Paul is talking about. And he goes on down here to say that the natural man doesn't understand the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. Well, that tells me something. He talks about a natural man and he talks about a spiritual man. When I was a boy preacher and I read that, I thought he was talking about two different people. Here's a natural man and over here on the other side is a spiritual man. But I learned better by study. And I found out that God is talking about all of us having a dual nature in our mind or in our heart or in our brain. And this is what I'm going to try to show you today, and I thought I could do a better job of it by giving you a chart up here and showing you what actually God is talking about. And that's what we have here. And let this circle right here represent your brain or your heart or your mind. The line right down the middle means that you have a natural man and you have spiritual side that you think about. And I'm going to prove that by the Bible. I have up here also another scripture I want you to notice. You see this scripture up here of Philippians 4:8? In this scripture, he said, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true and whatsoever things are honest and whatsoever things are just and whatsoever things are pure and lovely and of good report," he says, "think on these things." Do what? Think. What do you think with? With your mind up here, and all of you are thinking about something. I don't know what it is, and it's none of my business, I guess, in a sense. But you think, and you do it up here. Someone says, "But you're saying that we control our thinking." That is correct. You notice Paul didn't say God forces you to think on things that are lovely and things that are pure and things that are just and things that are good. He said God doesn't force you to do it, but you're supposed to discipline yourself and do it. And I believe that. And I believe it with all of my heart that you control your thinking. You can think on good things or you can think on bad things. Then I have over on the other side, if you'll notice the chart, I have Matthew 15:19. It should be 19. I first had 9 up there, but it should be 19. The Lord said, "Out of the heart," and that's your mind. Again, that's your, if you want to be technical, your brain. Out of your heart or your spirit. He says, "Come all kinds of evil thoughts of adulteries and thefts and lying and stealing." And therefore, that tells me you can think about other things. You can think about lying, stealing, adultery, because you control your mind. That's why I put a contrast up here from Philippians over to the other side of Matthew to show you that you're not forced to think about anything. If you want to think about a certain thing, you can just get your mind on it and think about it. Sometimes people will say to me, "Well, old John, all he thinks about is going fishing. That's all he thinks about." Well, it could be true. And maybe John does think all he thinks about is fishing. I don't know. And there's nothing wrong with that, except I'll explain that in just a moment. He better not spend all of his time thinking about that. And as you notice here on the chart, if this circle is your mind, you use the spiritual side of your mind, the spiritual man, to think about things such as studying the Bible, obeying the gospel, growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, of worshiping God, so which we're doing today, and I hope your mind is on the right thing. When we observe the Lord's Supper, I hope you were thinking about the right thing when you observe the Supper. Because if you weren't, then you were using the other side of your brain to think about something that, well, it could have been evil or it could have been just something under the natural man that wouldn't have been evil, but it certainly wasn't about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. You could be thinking about when you got home, what are you going to eat? What we're going to have for dinner or lunch or so, whatever you call it. And that's what you could have been thinking about that. My point is, in this word, when he said think on these things, is that God doesn't force you to think, but you'd better think on the right things. And what God expects you to do is to spend some of your time thinking on spiritual matters. And I think that you're using the spiritual man when you do that. You're not using the natural man because it would be foolishness to you. You know why Paul said the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit for their foolishness to him? Is because if he's using the natural side of his mind to try to think about being baptized or obeying the gospel, he can't see any reason in it. But the reason he can is he's using the wrong side of his brain. If he'd shift gears over to the other side, he wouldn't have any problem with understanding baptism. I've had problems with men talking to them, trying to be converted. Well, they say, Ward, I just can't see that baptism has anything to do with my salvation. You're thinking on the wrong side of your mind. If you'll get it over there on the spiritual side, you'll see why it's necessary. You follow me? You see that point? Now, I have over here Bible study. Now, you study the Word of God. You're using the right, it's that spiritual side. And I want to say God doesn't expect you to think all day long just about spiritual things. But when you come to worship and when you're studying on spiritual things, He expects you to use the spiritual side of your mind. And then it won't be foolishness to you. And then I have here obeying the gospel. And I have out there faith, repentance, confession, and baptism out to the side of the circle to illustrate the fact that if you're using the spiritual side of your mind and not, you'll understand about faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, and you'll obey the gospel. But you've got to use the right side of your mind. That's why he said the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him. That's all he means by that. He didn't mean it's wrong to use the natural side of your brain, and I'll talk about that in a moment. That circle represents your mind. If you would follow me, I try to break this down so you can understand what the Bible is saying about. Then I have up here, growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, which we're to do, study the Bible, and we grow, and we develop, and we become stronger. We should. Paul said in, the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews, when the time you ought to be teachers, you have the need that someone teach you what be the first principles of the oracles of God. And are such that need milk and not strong meat, so we need to grow. And we do that with the spiritual side of our mind. Then again, worship. That's what we're doing today, as you said. We've come here to worship, have we not? And I have out there the five acts of worship, singing and praying and the Lord's Supper and giving and teaching. That's what those letters, take too much room to write them all out, but that's what that means as you look at the circle. And that's what we're to do. That's what we've done today. Craig over here led us in some good song, did a good job. And we observed the Lord's Supper. We prayed to God, and we gave of our means, and we're studying the Word of God. And we're doing that because that's what the Bible teaches. And what side of our mind are we using? Certainly not the natural side. We're using the spiritual side. And if you're not using the spiritual side, then your worship might be in vain. If while we're doing this, you're thinking about something else over here and not what we're doing, the songs, the words, the Lord's Supper and what you ought to be thinking about and the teaching and all of that, then your worship could be vain. That's why Paul says, think on these things. Force yourself to think on what you ought to be thinking about because you control it. Do you not? Well, you know you do. You control your thinking. And so all of these things, the attendance, which is a part of it, Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. And when we plan that, we're thinking spiritually. We're not thinking about natural things. Now, someone says, but preacher, wait a minute. Does God expect me to use the spiritual side of my mind all the time? No, He really doesn't. But when you're worshiping, He does. And when you obey the gospel, He does. And He expects you to put Him first, according to the Sermon on the Mount, seeking first the kingdom of God. But now let's go over to the other side of there. You know, I have the natural man. And I have up there drives. And I have eating. When God made you, one of the drives He put in you is the desire for food. And someone says, why do I get hungry? Well, you get hungry because God made you that way, and there's a purpose in it. If you didn't eat, you'd die. It's to give nutrition to your body. And it's a drive. Someone says, well, I get hungry. I had a woman to tell me one time. She said, Brother Hoagland, I tell you, I just love to eat. She says, I can't get through with one meal until I'm thinking about the next one.
said, that's how, I said, I really like to eat.
Well, I said, okay, you like to eat. And some like to eat more than others. But it's a drive, and if you didn't have any drive at all, you were forced to eat, you'd probably lose most of your health. There's nothing wrong with it. But when you get outside of the box, do you notice I have gluttony out there? Even though God gave you this drive, He expects you to control it because He wants you to take care of yourself. Your body belongs to the Lord. And gluttony is condemned. It's outside the box. You see that up there? You can see it. I hope you can. I hope you can see it. And you, if someone says, well, what are you saying? I'm saying that God doesn't expect you to go to worship all the time and to use the spiritual side of your mind all the time, but He expects you to put it first, and when you do worship, He expects you to worship Him in spirit and truth. But then He doesn't mind you getting hungry, and as long as you control it, that's a drive. The second one is a sex drive. You know, when God made Adam and Eve, He gave them what is called a sex drive. And of course, there's nothing to be ashamed about that. It's a part of the human family. It's just as natural as it is for the sun to come up from the eastern horizon. But He provided marriage for the gratification of the sexual desire. Marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers God will judge. You remember that scripture? Marriage is honorable, but whoremongers He'll judge. Now, what is He saying? Well, He's saying there's nothing wrong with this drive. But if you get outside of the box, you get into adultery, fornication, lewdness, homosexuality, which has filled this nation right now. And they're outside of the box, and that's sin. That's sin. What I'm trying to show you is that the natural man, some of the things that fall in, are not wrong within themselves. It's when you get outside of the box. You see that point? Then it becomes sin. But the natural man is potential for sin if it's not controlled. You see that? And that's why I'm trying to illustrate it to you. And then there's the acquisition of money. Someone says, I like to make money, preacher. Well, that's fine. You need to make money. You need to support your family because if a man doesn't support his family, he's denied the faith and worse than an infidel. And if a man will not work, neither shall he eat. And so you work for money. That's fine. I'm with you on that. There's nothing wrong with it. The acquisition of money. And that's the natural. You do that with the natural man. The spiritual man over on this side has nothing to do with that. The spiritual man has nothing to do with sex. The spiritual man has nothing to do when you get hungry and go home and eat a steak or a fried chicken or whatever you're going to eat. Had nothing to do with it. You're under the natural side of your mind when you do that. And you'll probably do that after we're dismissed. You're going to go somewhere and eat. And you'll salivate the food. When we leave here, first thing most people do when they leave the meeting house is go out somewhere and eat or go home and eat. That's all right. That's fine. Because you have that desire, you see. But I explained to you about when you get outside the box, it can become sin. So the acquisition of money, as long as you stay inside the box and do it honorably, but outside of the box, and I don't have that up there, would be greed and dishonesty. But when you get so hungry for money that you'll lie, you'll steal, you'll beg, borrow, or steal, as the man says, in order to get money, then you're outside. You're sinning then. Covetousness is idolatry. But there's nothing wrong with making money. But you've got to control it. It's like the sex drive. It has got to be controlled. And if you don't control it, you get into all kind of problems and sometimes even go to the penitentiary. Are you listening to me? Am I making this clear that you can understand it? That I'm not arguing against the natural man. That's not what Paul is saying. But he's saying that when you use the natural man, you have to stay within the bounds of what the Word of God teaches. Entertainment. Sports. Ball games. Someone says, Preacher Hoagland, I just love to go to a basketball game, or I like to go to a football game. Another man said, well, I like to fish, and I like to hunt, and I like to play golf. Oh, you do? Well, that's good, isn't it? Are you doing that with your spiritual side of your brain?
has nothing to do with it. It's the natural man. I can prove it to you. That's the natural man that you're thinking about instead of the spiritual side. See, it's not like going to church and worshiping God. It's not the same. Someone said, are you saying that going to a ball game is wrong? I didn't say that. I enjoy ball games myself, some of them, and some of the things that we do with the natural man. Someone says, well, when do we get outside of the box? Well, if you listen, I'm going to tell you. Just like you can get outside of the box on the sex drive and on hunger and on the acquisition of money, you can get outside of the box with this entertainment business, especially if you do it when God tells you to assemble with the saints and you go to a ball game instead of going to church, you're outside of the box. Someone says, then you're not saying the ball game is wrong, but when you put that before the spiritual matters, yes, you're not seeking first the kingdom of God. That's what I'm saying. You see how simple that is? And when you get out here and you go fishing, and you know you ought to be in church, you ought to be worshiping God on the spiritual side of your brain, but you're using the natural side by going fishing, going down there to catch fish. You ought to be in church. So you're outside the box. Just like adultery is outside of the box. But the sex drive is not outside the box. It's not outside of the box. But fornication is. You see how simple that is? When I think of entertainment, and I think of this, I think of the man down in Texas. I preached down in Houston, Texas. I can even tell you his name. He's probably dead now, but his name was Preston Springer. I never will forget old Preston. He's a faithful man, as far as I know, very, very faithful in the church. But for some reason, he got up on Sunday morning and decided to use the natural side of his brain instead of the spiritual side. And he had a cabin, and he decided to go out there and spend the day at that cabin somewhere out of Houston, Texas. And he went out there, and he said, Brother Hoagland, he said, I was picking up these sticks to build a fire. And he said, a rattlesnake got a hold of my, bit me on my hand, and he said, scared me to death. I shook him off. And he said, you know the first thing I thought of? No, Preston, what'd you think of? He said, I thought the Lord had sent that rattlesnake to bite me because I'm missing church deliberately. I said, Preston, I really don't believe that. I said, I know your conscience was hurting you, and that's what you thought, that the Lord sent that rattlesnake to bite you. But I really don't believe that. It was your conscience hurting you. Well, he said, that's the first thing I thought of. I said, I understand that. He said, I knew I shouldn't be missing church. I knew that going camping wasn't wrong. But he said, I was doing it at the wrong time. I said, you're right about that. You ought to be, on the Lord's Day morning, you should have been thinking about the Lord and going to church and the Lord's Supper and serving God and singing and praying and all that. But you were down there doing something that's not wrong within itself, but you made a decision to get outside of the box and use the natural man instead of the spiritual man. He said, well, yeah, I guess I did that. And he said, I'm sorry that I did. I think he made a confession the next Sunday for what he'd done, as I remember. But what I'm trying to show you, I'm not arguing against you going to sports or having a good time eating and entertainment and all that, but keep it inside the box. Don't let it dominate your thinking above spiritual matters, because Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. You see, in all of this scenario, you have to put the church first, the kingdom first. Then all these things will be added to you. In other words, but sometimes we, use an old cliche, we get the cart before the horse. Well, I guess that's a pretty good statement. You start using the natural man when you should be using the spiritual man. And you know, that can happen to any of us. But I hope today that as you're thinking here, and you are thinking about something, I don't know what you're thinking about. You may be thinking, well, I wish that preacher would close his sermon. I've got a pot roast on and I need to get home. Well, I can't control your thinking. I don't know what you're thinking. But you're thinking something. You may be thinking, I don't like that sermon. Or you may be thinking, well, I like that sermon. But I don't control your thinking. Paul says, think on these things. Things that are pure and things that are holy and things that are of good report. He said, think on these things. And we control it. And if you're here as an alien sinner or one who has never obeyed the gospel, I hope you'll use the spiritual side of your mind to think about, I need to become a Christian. I need to believe and I need to repent of my sin. And I need to confess the precious name of Jesus as the eunuch did. And I need to be baptized as he was baptized. On his way home, the eunuch in Acts 8, he used the spiritual side of his brain when Philip preached to him. And he said, see, here is water. What doth hindereth me to be baptized? Well, he wasn't thinking about eating something at home or going fishing. That eunuch wasn't thinking about that. He's thinking about saving his soul, wasn't he? He's thinking about, well, he was using the right side of his mind. And so he went down into the water and he was baptized. And, well, the Bible said he went on his way rejoicing, which is good. That's right. That's what happened. But what I'm trying to get you to see is that you control your mind. And you need to think on things spiritual and put that first. And then if you want to go out and have a good time, stay within the box with your natural man. Stay within the box. Don't get outside the box. Eat, but eat with moderation. Your sex drive is within the box and not fornication and adultery. Your entertainment is in the box and not putting it before the church or going to church like Preston Springer did. If you're here today, as I bring my lesson to a close, I hope you'll come. Come to the Lord. Come to be saved upon the terms of the gospel. If you need to repent, as Simon did in Acts 8, you need to do that. If you've been dilatory in duty, delinquent in service, you need to correct that, as Preston did. He corrected it. And if you need to make correction in your life, it is our hope and prayer that you'll come. Let's stand now with Craig and sing our invitation song.